The following Insight for Living podcast is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you.
If you're a dad, then no one needs to convince you that leading a family can be a daunting assignment, not for the faint of heart. Welcome to Insight for Living. Today, you'll hear another message in Chuck Swindoll's mini-series called Life Lessons Just for Men. Whether you're struggling with financial pressure, maybe the pull of a career that takes you away from home, or recovering from a broken relationship, you'll appreciate the biblical wisdom found in the first chapter of James. Chuck Swindoll wants to warn you about six temptations fathers face.
I want to talk especially to those of us who are fathers, but not only to you who are dads, but to all of us in places of responsibility and influence, no place more influential than the home. I have four desires as I speak to you today. First of all, I really do want to encourage you. I don't want to discourage you. I know that sermons like this can demoralize you, and that little is gained by that. And I really don't have that as my desire. Second, I want you to know that I stand alongside you. There is no temptation that I address today from the Scripture that I personally have not wrestled with and still do. So this is not something that I want to say looking down on you, but standing alongside you. These are deep feelings I have regarding fathering today. Third, I want to challenge you to excel, not just to get by. Yeah, anybody can make babies, or most of us can, but it takes a whole nother kind of person to be there for them. When the fun's over and all the ecstasy is flown and the hard work has to be done, usually it's our move, dads. Harry Chapin wrote for all of us, and there's a sigh when you get to that last part that you realize he's grown up to be just like me. Fourth, I want to warn you. I want to warn you. I don't want you to look upon these as simply mild or preacher kind of ideas. These are real life matters. And surviving them is treacherous. It's treacherous. I remembered the closest I ever came to drowning. I had my oldest son on my shoulders to make things worse. He was about 2.5, 3 years old. Cynthia was about 1/4 mile away and couldn't have heard if I had screamed. And there was no one around. I was near a lake that we had never been to before and have never been to since. I was not familiar with it. He loved playing in the water, and I loved doing it with him and Kurt, who most of you have never met, unfortunately, was on my shoulders and looking forward to a little stroll in the lake and kicking the water and having fun with his daddy. And I stepped in and noticed immediately that the bottom was muddy and the slope was slick. Should have known at that point it was too dangerous. But I went on, got knee-deep in the mud and about waist-deep in water, and before I knew it, I was up to my neck. I was holding on to him real tight, didn't want him to fall, and I thought at that moment, this is not smart. I need to get out of here, and before I knew it, I had stepped off, and it was bottomless. For the first time in my life, I entertained the thought, I may not make this. It's a treacherous moment. I held on tightly. I went up to my chin right away, and I began, of course, like you would have done, I began to kick my legs as fast as I could. I couldn't use my arms, or he would have fallen over. He thought it was more fun, so he kicked with more vigor, and water was coming all over me, and I was trying to wipe my face and catch my breath. I took a quick gulp of air and went under. I kicked back up, and I remember it was blurry and had my glasses off, of course, and I couldn't make out where land was. And that just exacerbated my panic, and I went under again. And I couldn't get up. And then I was seized with the thought, my son's whole future hangs on my surviving this. If I make it, he will make it. If I don't, he will drown with me. I cannot describe to you what happened at that point, but that thought gave me a burst of energy and determination I had not had up till that moment. I kicked vigorously, I hoped, toward the shore. Thankfully it was. My toe felt a little part of an edge of a rock, and I made it. I never got so much use out of a big toe in my entire life as I did that moment when I used it to push us toward the muddy banks and slopped out of it and began to sob. I put him down, and he and I ran back to the campsite, and I related the story to Cynthia. She, of course, felt terrible that she hadn't been near, and I don't know that I would have had enough breath to call for help had she been right alongside. But I learned some things about temptation from that experience. First, I learned that temptations are as subtle as the muddy banks of an unfamiliar lake. The problem is submerged, and it's slick, and it's treacherous, and it always leads you into further difficulty. Second, I learned that the excitement of the moment encourages us to go further rather than to stop. At the beginning, there didn't seem any reason to stop. It was fun, and it was going to be only more fun as we got deeper into it. That's the way it is in temptation. It invites you not to stop, but to go further, to go on, to get beyond the point, to make it even more adventurous. Third, I learned that the longer you play in dangerous areas, the more treacherous it becomes. And fourth, I learned that it takes incredible determination to survive. I do not know where any of you are today in your life. I only know a very few of you well, and only one, two, or three of you intimately. So I don't know where you are in this journey, but I have six areas that I think the Lord would have me warn us about, as I do want to be helpful in these thoughts. The six areas are material pursuits, emotional energy, verbal messages, unrealistic expectations, sexual drive, and spiritual faith. Let me return to them with the help of James 1, which is a chapter that is fraught with all kinds of direct application. And as we turn to it together, I want all of you men who are hearing me right now to know that I am confident no temptation has taken us, but such as is common, familiar temptations, and that you will be able to overcome them. I believe in the best for you. I want to add that. I am not here to pull you under. I am here to help push you back through the aid of the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you, having been in the midst of each one of these, my own world, I can tell you from experience, you can, by the grace of God, overcome. You can. You will. You must. James writes to people who are encountering various trials, verse 2. He is also talking to people who are tempted, verse 13. When he is tempted. When you encounter trials, verse 2, and when you are tempted, verse 13. A trial is designed to bring out the best in us. A temptation is designed to bring out the worst. These six areas will bring out the worst. And I stand before you to testify, you can make it. You will make it. You must. Material pursuits. This is the temptation to provide things instead of ourselves for our family. The great temptation to let toys take the place of time. That's why the Cats in the Cradle rings a familiar note in our minds. The Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, the Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon. When you coming home, Dad? Well, soon. We'll have a good time then. This is a dad too busy to do what is essential for the family. That's to give them the time they need. That's a temptation. I realize I am talking today mainly to a group of people living in Dallas. I hardly need to tell you that there is no more subtle message coming from the culture in which we are living than this one. This is, things are worth it. Give yourselves to making more so you can provide more so they can have more than you ever had, so that as a result we'll all live happily ever after. That's the part that stinks. The testing of your faith produces endurance. If you lack wisdom, verse 5, ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. And ask in faith. This is an area that can easily slide, and you need wisdom to know where enough work is enough and enough things are enough, and you have gone far enough in time spent elsewhere. Like you, I was raised by a hard-working set of parents. My mother was never employed outside the home. My dad loved work. If I learned nothing else from my father, and I learned many things, but I learned the importance of responsibility and taking care of my own and working hard, giving myself fully, in fact, more than 100% if I could possibly muster it. And if my dad had extra time, he got another job. he raised in the before the Depression knew what hard times had been, and that's what you did. And I kept hearing, "We'll have a good time then, son. We'll have a good time then." And if that isn't enough to tempt you to stay there, then you've got a scripture that says in 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his own, he is worse than an unbeliever. So now you've got a verse of scripture that encourages you to stay on the job and work overtime and make more so that you can provide for your own. You buy your shoes, shine them. You own a car, keep it clean. You wear a suit, be sure it's pressed. Everything drips with responsibility, effort, work, more. And the children, therefore, get the results of it. Tom Eisenman, in his fine book called Temptations, Top Temptations Men Face, writes of the temptation to love money. "Money may be our most difficult obsession," writes Eisenman. "No concept or commodity is more deeply rooted in or and driven by emotional needs. Nothing in the world today is more available, acceptable, and heavily promoted. And all the promotion is positive. This is different from other obsessions that may captivate us. We may struggle with overeating. Food is plentiful in America. But we have some help from society to beat our gluttony. Alcohol abuse is similar. Alcohol is widely available in numerous forms, like food. It is attractively advertised, but there is also immense pressure from society to manage drinking. Everyone knows the health hazards associated with alcohol, but there is no media campaign to help us control our consumptive materialism and manage our lust for money. I see it coming out at Christmas time when the gifts are abundant, in fact, overabundant, that take the place of the guilt that says I should have spent more time with you. There are a few things, fathers, that endear us to our children, like our presence, our personal presence at their games, at the dramas in which they have a part in the play, at their celebrations, at the events that they consider important, even at the practices, which I know can be terribly, terribly monotonous. There's nothing like a hands-on touch or smile or arm around the shoulder from a father that holds a son close when he struck out and they lost the game. There's nothing quite like a dad who says with his presence, "It's okay. I've been there, I'm there now, and you're still terrific." Jesus' words come to mind, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Hear this paraphrase: a father's family is not enhanced or nurtured by the abundance of material possessions. Do not be deceived, Dad. Your kids really want you now. I wonder how many children, grown up, look with a bit of envy on grandfathers who finally got the message and are giving the grandchildren time, wondering why it came so late. I'm holding back a half a dozen illustrations from my own life. I can almost remember the period, can't give you the date, but I remember the period when the traveling really kicked in and the books were selling and the public was interested and the publisher had the game plan and these are things that authors must do. And in my life, it was in that realm. And I remember stumbling in many a Friday night late and living with the guilt of having been gone too much. So please learn from me if you if you will, today learn earlier than I did the value of dealing with material pursuits. There'll be a day when they won't even remember the gifts and they can't forget the absence. There'll be the day. There's a second, and it's a part of that, and that is the emotional energy. And this temptation is to give the workplace our best and to give the home less. There is something about the workplace that is altogether demanding. It demands our creativity, it demands our leadership and diplomacy skills. It demands our ideas, our enthusiasm, our zest for life, our financial management. Our workplace demands people relationships. It demands dealing with the public. It demands going the extra mile. It demands. And the meltdown, the fallout of that happens when the family is left with the leftovers. And the temptation is to save ourselves for the workplace so that they got the best of us and to leave the rest with our mate. Do not be deceived, Dad. Your leadership is needed much more from those who have come from your loins than those who are on your payroll. Verse 9 says, "Let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position." Isn't that a beautiful way to look at it? Here is a man of humble circumstances glorying in his high position. Let the rich man glory in his humiliation. This is the holding back. This is the restraining, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. The sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too, the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, Dad. You may be warning, you may be drowning in your weariness. It's because you've said yes too much to the wrong things. That's the reason.
Helping us avoid the common pitfalls of failure, Chuck Swindoll identifies six temptations fathers face. You're listening to Insight for Living, and there's still more teaching ahead, so please do stay with us. If you'd like a copy of the CD for today's important message for dads, or all four in the mini-series, just go online and look for the section called Beyond the Broadcast. The web address is insight.org. This would make a terrific gift for the man in your life, or perhaps a son. You know, personal virtue doesn't just drop into our laps. Becoming a man or woman of character takes work. It takes planning and time. Well, to help, you'll enjoy Chuck Swindoll's brand new book, Strength of Character, 7 Essential Traits of a Remarkable Life. It's not long and laborious, but it's the kind of honest and authentic advice you've come to expect from Chuck on topics such as courage, self-control, honesty, determination, unselfishness, hope, and sincerity. You may feel unqualified, uneducated, untrained, under-gifted, or even unworthy. Yet those are excellent qualifications for God to do a mighty work in your life. Request your copy today. When you send a donation, we'll say thank you by providing this book, Strength of Character. Write Insight for Living, Box 269,000, Plano, Texas, 75026. Or call 1-800-772-8888. Online, go to insight.org. And if it's been a while since you've contacted Insight for Living, we want to give you a free CD message by Chuck Swindoll. It's called An Interview with One from Beyond. In this message, Chuck dares to tackle several tough questions, such as how can a loving God send people to hell? And what happens to babies when they die? Just ask for Interview with One from Beyond when you write Post Office Box 269,000, Plano, Texas, 75026. or give us a call at 1-800-772-8888. And now a few more thoughts from Chuck Swindoll coming from the message, Six Temptations Fathers Face.
I want to leave with you a thought on this point. Overcommitment is a sin. It isn't an admirable quality that impresses the public. It is a sin. And the consequences can be horrible. I want to do something I've never, ever done in my life. I want to practice saying the word no. Okay? 1, 2, 3. No. Let's practice now, not today. Together? Not today. One more. Let's practice, I'm sorry, I already have an appointment. Okay? 1, 2, 3. I'm sorry, I already have an appointment. Wonderful. You did that beautifully. No one ever helped practice that with me. So it was always, the family is just so demanding. These children just don't seem to understand. These are important days for me, honey. You know what? They understood a whole lot more than I did.
Find resource information at insight.org. Chuck Swindoll continues his message, Six Temptations Fathers Face, Friday on Insight for Living.
You've been listening to Chuck Swindoll on Insight for Living. To learn more about this listener-supported ministry, browse and bookmark our website. You'll find us at insight.org. This podcast may not be reproduced, duplicated, or transmitted without written consent. Copyright 2000, Charles R. Swindoll Incorporated, presented 2007.